All right. We are rolling in 3, 2, and 1.
Now the 3-Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the beloved Friday edition of the 3-Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you, as usual. We start with the good. And earlier this week, in the bad martini, we talked about how Alaska Senator Mark Begich was basically running against the Koch brothers up in Alaska. We've seen this Koch brothers theme from the Democrats in many other areas this week, including Harry Reid somehow blaming the inability of Congress to pass $1 billion in loan guarantees to the Ukrainians, the fault of the Koch brothers. If that weren't enough, now Senate Majority PAC is launching this ad against likely Republican Senate nominee Bill Cassidy in Louisiana.
Out-of-state billionaires spending millions to rig the system and elect Bill Cassidy. Their goal, another politician bought and paid for. Their agenda, protect tax cuts for companies that ship our jobs overseas. Cut Social Security and end Medicare as we know it. They even tried to kill relief for hurricane victims. Cassidy's billion-dollar backers, they've got a plan for him. It's not good for Louisiana. Senate Majority PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So here's the story. Glenn Kessler over at the Washington Post looked into this. He says this ad is based on a 2012 procedural vote in which Senate Republicans blocked a bill called the Bring Jobs Home Act, which would have created a new tax credit for companies that return jobs to the United States. They claim that the Koch brother connection is that the Koch brothers, through one of their other organizations, gave about $350,000 to Americans for tax reform. Although American tax reform has never heard of this bill and has had no position on it, obviously, as a result of that. So finally, it gets 4 Pinocchios. Upon examination, this claim crumbles into dust. The ad not only mischaracterizes an ordinary tax deduction as a special tax cut, but then it falsely asserts that protecting this tax break is part of the Koch agenda. So, Jim, we saw earlier in the week that this was going to be the theme potentially from the Democrats, but it's nice to see that even the mainstream media is starting to throw some cold water on that.
This warrants the 4 Pinocchios. I don't know if they deploy the full Geppetto anymore. That was supposed to be the Moab bomb of the fact checker that never seems to get deployed, even when it seems, you know, useful. I had always figured that when Democrats say he supports tax cuts for companies that ship jobs overseas, that was their way of characterizing a tax cut that would affect all companies. That if you're giving a tax cut to every company, well, then, by golly, you're including some of the bad ones. You know, the same way that if you supported a cut for individual tax rates, you know, Greg Corumbus supports tax cuts for serial killers. You know, you wanted to lower taxes on everyone, that means you're lowering taxes on some really terrible people. But now I'm really intrigued by it, because also in the fact check, there's one other point you didn't mention. President Obama, Harry Reid, all kinds of Democrats like to say, look, you know, this provision of the tax law, that's helping companies. It's a special loophole for companies that move jobs overseas. And it's completely not that at all. It's a standard moving expense deduction, and that applies to if you're moving jobs to Vienna, Virginia, or Vienna, Austria. Where you move the jobs doesn't matter. It's a deduction for moving expenses, which makes it even more twisted and demagogic than I thought it was before. I kind of had a pretty good rant going both yesterday and then later on Twitter, where this is what you talk about when you can't talk about Obamacare. This is what you talk about when you can't talk about job creation. This, you know, you talk about side issues or little things that won't affect a lot of people, like a minimum wage hike or the nefariousness of the Koch brothers and stuff. As frustrating as the Obama administration is and as frustrating as a Senate run by Harry Reid is, stuff like this indicates this is an intellectually spent movement. They don't have new ideas. They don't have new suggestions and new stuff they want to do. So they just, you know, do this very Alinsky-like tactic of finding somebody and demonizing it. The interesting thing is that the Koch brothers don't do enough bad things, so they have to start making up stuff. And even the Washington Post, who, you know, we've had lots of times where we've not been not particularly like Glenn Kressler's assessment of this, looks at this and says, look, there's nothing to justify the argument in this attack ad. And so there you go.
The number one Twitter trend yesterday afternoon was the hashtag I don't remember the exact words, but other things the Koch brothers are to blame for after Harry Reid started blaming them for the Ukraine situation and everything else. I don't know if you took part in that, Jim, but there are some pretty clever ones out there. They're to blame for the polar vortex and the missing Malaysian plane, which we'll talk about in the third martini. But basically anything that can and will go wrong is the fault of the Koch brothers, apparently, now.
It is, and we'll get to that third martini for their most nefarious plan.
All right. On to martini number two now. And, of course, the prestigious Lie of the Year award from 2013 went to President Obama for "If you like your plan, you can keep your plan." Jim, I think we have our leader in the clubhouse for Lie of the Year for 2014. The president was speaking with WebMD yesterday, and this was what he had to say about allegations that the plan, contrary to his promise, is forcing a lot of people away from the doctors that they know and like.
But for the average person, many of folks who don't have health insurance initially, they're going to have to make some choices, and they might end up having to switch doctors, in part because they're saving money. But that's true, if your employer suddenly decides, we think this network's going to give a better deal, we think this is going to help keep premiums lower, you've got to use this doctor as opposed to that one, or this hospital as opposed to that one.
This is a rough week for patients, Jim. First, they can't keep their phones and cable. Now they can't keep their doctor.
Yeah, here's the thing. If my employer changes the health care plan, that's between my employer and me, right?
Yes.
And I can always go out and find another job. I can't go, it's much tougher to move to another country under different laws. But the second thing is that no point did my employer come to me 30-some times and say, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan, and ask me to vote for him. Well, other people, do the same policies. Yes, Mr. President, but they didn't make the same promises you did. Now, the second thing here, I just put this up on Campaign Spot. I don't quite understand what he's saying. For the average person, many folks who don't have health insurance initially, well, wait a second. The average American has always had health insurance, all right? I mean, the estimates, there are different ways you can measure it. We have 317 million Americans out there, okay? Gallup always asks, does in some of their surveys about once every 3 months, do you have health insurance? And the number of people who don't have it has ranged from 13.9% back in the terrible Bush years all the way up to 18% in the third quarter of 2013. So during the Obama years, it actually, the number of uninsured went up even after Obamacare was enacted. It's down to 15.9%, but it's still higher than it was back in 2008. So that portion of the statement is kind of nonsensical, but I don't think he grasps, how much that, promise of if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, was to getting the thing passed. So with any justice, PolitiFact or the other groups will make this their lie of the year. If you thought losing your health insurance plan was causing people a lot of aggravation, losing the family doctor and having to go to some new guy is going to be a rather, really big one. And look, if it didn't matter to people, Obama would not have made this promise in the first place. And it's kind of fun when he gets his voice gets a lot softer and his starts kind of mumbling when he says these things. But that is the hard, brutal truth. People are going to start realizing this. And they're going to be pretty angry that, that they're being forced to change doctors because of a federal government policy.
On to martini number three now, Jim. And it may have just crashed and we can't find it. It may be in some cloak and dagger uncharted island being refitted for terrorist purposes. It could have been hijacked somewhere. We don't know what happened to the Malaysian plane. What we do know is that there were 230-some people on board. We do know that it seems as some of the tracking devices, the transponder and so forth, seem to be shut down independent of one another. It seems that the plane may have flown on for hours after it fell off of radar. There were the early reports that people's cell phones were still working, although not being answered long after the plane was no longer in contact. So a huge mystery out there, but whether it's abducted by aliens or just obliterated in some sort of spontaneous combustion, nobody knows.
By the way, for anyone who says, hey, there are, families that are really grieving what they think is the loss of their loved ones, how can you guys joke about this? I'm just going to go with my all-purpose, slogan, we laugh because otherwise we would cry. We realize this is a very sad and tragic story, but there are so many bizarre twists and turns to it. Sometimes a little bit of gallows humor is the only way you can kind of cope with it all. A plane crash story is almost standard in life these days, I had to say. A plane disappearing story is weird. And with each passing day, we get some new detail that just gets it weirder and weirder, particularly about the various transponders being turned off and the possibility that the satellite link indicates it kept flying for a long time after it dropped off the radar. CNN has been going with this story relentlessly, and I was hanging out with conservative bloggers last night, and we're debating about whether it was being overcovered. And it's just such a fantastically bizarre story that with each day you're like, okay, well, we found it, we found the wreckage, and we don't find that, and instead like the mystery just deepens of like, okay, so, you know, even if there was a hijacking, there was no mayday call, does this mean the pilots were in on it? It doesn't fit your typical Al-Qaeda style thing, because it's, you figure they try to hijack a plane full of Westerners. It's almost as if somebody wants to send a signal to the Chinese, but one, that strikes me as a fairly foolish choice, and two, no ransom demands, no claims of responsibility, no threatening videos or anything like that. It just gets weirder and weirder with each passing day. I think we have learned something valuable from it, though, Greg, and that is I've traveled a decent amount of this world. I haven't been that spent much time in Asia. I don't think I'm going anywhere near Malaysia, Greg, because if you disappear, no one can find you. Even like, you know, days later, the Malaysian Air Force is like, oh, actually, hey, remember how we told you it flew north? Yeah, actually, it flew west. Sorry. We forgot to tell you that. You've all been looking in the wrong direction. The military aviation guy will say one thing, and then the civil aviation guy, no, we totally didn't, you know. And Boeing will say, well, we got a signal from the engine, you know, special data transmission system. And later on, they say, no, it's not. And it's just weirder and weirder. Now it's a great mystery, right? It's a Brad Thor novel or something like that. This, you know, something out of how does a jetliner just disappear? And barring a science fiction explanation of it disappeared into some wormhole and it's going to reappear 10 years from now with a Roman centurion and Thomas Jefferson or something like that, or it's on the island on Lost or something like that, you know, you're suspecting that something very sinister happened here, and that, you know, it's one thing to blow up a plane. It's another thing to make a plane disappear and presumably steal it. And so now, on, you know, on Fox News, you know, there's somebody was speculating about using the plane as a way of flying a nuclear weapon into a country, or, you know, it's just, you got to figure, though, that any Malaysian jet popping up on the radar where it's not supposed to, everybody in the world would freak out simultaneously. So I don't know if that's necessarily the plan. But so I don't know. We're going to be riveted by this story. Richard Quest, who you may know on CNN as the international correspondent, who's constantly shouting at you.
Yes.
He's not aware of the fact that he has a microphone, and he just feels he has to yell it to you at CNN Center in Atlanta from wherever he is. But he made a rather reassuring point, you know, because he had just done something on Malaysian Air, and they'd actually sat in the cockpit with the co-pilot. So they had done a segment with this guy like 2 months ago or something, which is even weirder. But he said that you look at the aviation security and the development year by year, decade by decade, we have very few completely unexplained plane crashes anymore. He says they're getting rarer and rarer, and the investigative abilities get better and better with each one. So he argues that someday we will know what happened to this plane. It may not be in a week, may not be in a month, maybe a year from now. He believes that the knowledge and the expertise and the investigative techniques get better with each generation. And that at some point the mystery will be solved, and boy, a heck of an explanation we're all waiting on the edge of our seats for.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy theorist Christmas, I guess, on this particular one. So amazing. Jim, maybe we'll find out over the weekend, but we probably won't. Have a good one.
See you on Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Please join us on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.